Well, I'm so glad that our verse of the year is Joshua 1:9. It is a powerful scripture. You know, I have to say, though, I want to thank all of the congregation, all those who submitted. We had a lot of submissions this year, which just tells me that, you know, people are searching God's word for wisdom. They're looking for, you know, verses that just give them guidance. And we had so many just truly excellent submissions. But again, I just always feel the Lord leads our session in our decision. And this week, as I was working on this sermon from Joshua 1:9, I was just touched and amazed at how powerful this verse is and how appropriate it is at this juncture, this time of our congregation's life. And so that we can understand that verse, it's always important to look at the context. And so I'm going to start reading today for our scripture lesson from verses 1 through 9. And so let's now give our attention to God's word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you know, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." May God now add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy and infallible word. Three times in those verses, God commands us to be strong and courageous. You know, Joshua is in an interesting book in that it opens with a funeral, the death of Moses, and it closes with three funerals. Joshua's death, a recounting of Joseph's death 400 years earlier, and then Eleazar, the priest, died as well. Now, the author of Joshua doesn't have some morbid interest in funerals or death. No, not at all. He is a man who is passionate about life, about the living, vital life of God's promises. And that's the first thing we need to understand so that we as a congregation can truly be strong and courageous. When life feels as though everything we've depended upon, everyone we trusted in has died, there is still something alive, something that lives, that's everlasting, and it's God's promises. It is God's promises. That's why Martin Luther closed that great opening hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," with those words, "His kingdom is forever." Amen. You see, we have to face our disappointments, our discouragements, with the full knowledge that God is true to his word. In those opening verses in Joshua, God in verses 1 through 4 just reviews the great promises that God had given the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he reiterated it to Moses, that they would inherit this great land from the Euphrates River all the way to the Mediterranean, from Lebanon all the way down to the Negev. All that land was given to Israel, and they were going to take that land. Why? Because God had promised them that. You know, when do we need courage and strength? Think about it. When do you really need that? Don't you need it when your life is on the line? When it seems as though, like I said before, everything you've trusted in has died, and you may very well die. You have to understand where Israel was here. They were on the very verge of the Jordan River. They were at the place where their grandparents and their parents rebelled against God because they were so frightened about what lay on the other side of the Jordan River. Just so you can kind of remember what the Bible says about that, let's look at Numbers chapter 13. Then the men who had gone up with him, and that is with Caleb, and they're talking about the spies, the 12 spies. "We are not able," these 10 spies said, "to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, and saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw to it are of a great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who had come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like little grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them." You see what they're saying? They're saying this land is a dangerous place. If we go there, we're just going to be devoured by it because there lie giants. And what was the people's response? Well, the very next chapter tells us, in chapter 14. "And then all the congregation arise with a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not have been better for us to go back to Egypt?'" You hear what they're saying? They're saying, look, there's a fate that's better than what we're going to face. It would have been better if we had just died. But what are we going to have? We're going to see our children and our wives taken as booty. And we're going to see with our own eyes them carried away. Oh, woe is us. Everything we hoped in is gone. And so here they were, Israel, back in that very place, facing those same giants in that same danger. But this time, as chapter 1 of Joshua reminds us, they face it without Moses, the man of God. You know, I don't think we really appreciate how great Moses was. You know, the Bible makes it clear that Moses was the greatest of the prophets until Jesus came. Moses was a man who had the ability to talk face to face with God. None of the other prophets had done that. For 40 years. He had led this generation. You think about that. These people who are now men and women in the middle age, or young men and women who were going to be the ones who fought in those battles. The only leader they've ever known was Moses. And now he was dead. No wonder they needed to be strong and courageous. And God tells them, they can be. Because if everything else dies, my promises never die. My promises never die. You know, Peter, he talks about God's promises, and I love what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, God's promises are living and abiding. Isn't that wonderful? The living and abiding promises of God. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. What a great promise to know that God's promises are there for us. That's why we can be encouraged. You know, in the days of Isaiah, we already read a little bit, the assurance of pardon from chapter 40. He was a prophet at a time, I think, kind of like ours, where the true believers were discouraged. You know, the true believers in Israel were just a tiny remnant, and they saw so much apostasy around them, and their nation was turning the wrong way. And God brought them this word to encourage them, and it was this in chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. There's always something you can count on, folks. It is God's promise. And I think as a congregation in this new year, that's what we need to be doing, is to remind each other of God's promises, to encourage each other in that, and that God's promises are living and active, and they're abiding forever. And then we also need to encourage each other about God's presence. And that's the second thing I think comes out really loud and clear in this passage, is that God is a God who is present. Two times, verses 5 and verse 9, God says to Joshua, I will be with you. I will be with you. You know, that's what a leader needs to know. That's what Joshua needed to know. That's what you need to know, is that God will be with you. You know, if those words sound familiar, it's not the first time that they're found in the Bible. You know, there was another leader who faced a daunting task before him. His name was Moses. You know the story of Moses. He's standing before the burning bush, and God gives him this mission. Just a tiny little thing. Go back to Egypt, defy Pharaoh, the mightiest power on earth, free Israel from the slaves and lead them to the promised land, and then conquer it. It was Moses' reaction. God, I think you got the wrong man. You know, I stutter, I can't talk well. And he uses every little excuse he could to get out of what God was asking him to do. Finally, God just had enough of it. And what does he say to Moses? Well, it's found in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 12. He simply says this to Moses, I will be with you. You know, those little words make all the difference. No matter how daunting, no matter how scary the situation before us is, those simple words of God, I will be with you, changes everything. It dispels fear and dismay and replaces it with courage and strength. You know, God's holy name, his covenant name, is Yahweh. And it literally means, I am who I am. And many commentators have made the point that that name of God is essentially God saying to Moses over again, I'm with you. Because you think of it. What's God saying to Moses? I always have been present. I am present. And I always will be. You see, as I said before, this book opens with people dying. Really important people dying. And Israel could have been all upset. But the message Joshua, the author of Joshua, is trying to tell us is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Moses dies or Joshua dies or Eleazar dies or even Joseph dies. I know they were important. They were key. But even if they die, I'm still here. I always have been here. And I always will be here. No wonder that the author of Hebrews wrote what we heard in our call to confession. And can I read those, that call to confession again? You know, I think you're going to appreciate it a little bit more now. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of their life. Imitate their faith. Consider your leaders. Consider Moses. Consider Joshua. Consider Joseph and Eliezer. That's why Joshua has these people, their deaths. He wants us to think about their lives. You know, as I was thinking about this point, my mind went to a recent movie. I think it was done in 2014. Maybe you saw it. It was entitled Alone, Yet Not Alone. It's actually set right here in western Pennsylvania during the times of the French and Indian Wars. And two young Christian girls, they were part of a German family, German Christians immigrated to Pennsylvania. They had their cabin, their family cabin was just north of here in Allegheny County. And General Braddock just lost. We all know about General Braddock around here. Well, once, you know, the British lost, the Indians went wild. And they burned, the Allegheny Indians, they burned this family's cabin, massacred these two young teenage girls' family, their brothers, their parents, they're all dead, took these two young girls away, and in time they got separated. One girl went off to Ohio, the other went, stayed here in Pennsylvania with the Indians, and both had the courage to escape. And they both had the courage and the strength to escape because they knew God was with them. And that's where the title of the movie came from, Alone, Yet Not Alone. My friends, you may feel alone, yet if you're a Christian, you are never alone. I think that's why the author of Hebrews tells us in that same book he wrote, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What is he saying? We need to be encouraging each other with God's presence, reminding each other that we're not alone. We're never alone. God is always there. And this brings us to the final key to having courage in the midst of troubled times that we have here. And it's in verses 7 and 8, and it's the centrality of God's word. You know, this third point in my message, it's really not hard to figure out because both of the things I've talked about before depend on us knowing God's word. How can you know about God's everlasting promises if you're ignorant of God's word? How can you know about God's abiding presence if you're ignorant about God's character? And how do you know either one of those things without being in God's word? That's why in verse 7 and 8, I want to read these two verses to you. We read this: only be strong and very courageous. Okay, then he says the reason, how are we going to do that? Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, your servant, commanded. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then in verse 8, he tells us how we can be obedient to that word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Don't you love that promise? I mean, do you want 2021 to be a prosperous year for yourself? Do you want to have success this year? Well, you need to stay in God's word. You know, that word meditate upon God's word, literally in the Hebrew, it's murmur or mutter. You know, we oftentimes think of meditation in a very passive way, like some monk, you know, thinking of thoughts all by himself in some secluded place. But no, what biblical meditation is repeating God's word, reading God's word, talking about God's word. You know, you read earlier in the Law of Moses, one of the commandments was that God's people were to be talking about God's word as they go in and as they go out. They're to write God's word over their doorway. They're to teach their children God's word. They're to tie it up on little platelets on their foreheads so they wouldn't forget God's word. You know, God's intent is that we should be biblically Bible-saturated people. And why? Because we can't be strong and courageous. We can't be successful or prosperous otherwise. Because God's word is where we know God's promises. And God's word is where we know God's character. You know, the most important promise is the promise of salvation. Where are you going to learn the promise of salvation except in God's word? And how will you have confidence in God's promise that he will save us if we trust in Jesus Christ unless you know how God is, what his character is like? All of that comes from God's word. You know, it's a sad thing that after the generation that lived, people forgot God's word. They forgot it. I want to go back to the close of Joshua, and I want to read about the final three funerals that I mentioned earlier in Joshua 24. So we begin at verse 29, and it says this: Now after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work the Lord did for Israel. Now hang on just right there, that last thing. Just keep on that thought. People served God. They knew God during Joshua's day and the generation following. Just hang on to that before I go on. Okay, now the second man who died, Joseph. And now as for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem in the piece of land that Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. And it became an inheritance for the descendants of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. That's the third one. And they buried him at Gibeah, the town of Phinehas, his son, which had been given him in the hill country of Ephraim. Now we have three men, and we have their deaths. And each of these men's lives, don't they testify to the two things we learned earlier? They testify to God's promises. Do you see how in each of these men's lives, God's promises were fulfilled? And do you also see how the example of each of these three men, what we were told in Hebrews, consider the outcome of their life, that God was with them all their life? See what the author of Joshua is doing? He's reminding us of these things. But he's also warning us. I had you mentioned that one section where it says they served Joshua and then they served that during the generation afterwards. Well, guess what happens? Well, all you have to do is turn to the next book, Judges. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And all that generation also gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. They did not know. Let that sink in. They did not know. Why did they not know? Because they weren't careful to know God's word. That's why they didn't know. You see why that's so important, how everything fits together in this passage? If you want to have strength and courage this coming year, if you don't want to have your heart give way to fear and dismay, then you have to know God's word. And by knowing God's word, you're going to know his promises, his everlasting living promises. And by knowing God's word, you're going to know that God's a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what you need to know. You need to know God's word. Brothers and sisters, there is no other way for us to be strong and courageous than to know and rely upon God's word. So let us heed this call, because this isn't just a word to Joshua. It's a word to us. Let us heed this call to be strong and courageous, to not give in to fear and to not be dismayed, for our God is a God who keeps his promises and never leaves us. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this message that we've heard today. I pray your blessing upon the hearing of this word, that all those who have heard it, whether it's here in person, whether it's on the radio, whether it's online, will take what's been given to us to heart, that they would find the strength and courage they need for this new year so that we can have prosperity and success in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was considering what